gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another one of these. We're going to make this introduction brief because here's the deal. I haven't done a show for a few weeks, except for a bonus show. So if you're a donor, you got that. If you're a donor, you got a boner when that popped into your inbox, of which you're the owner. I'm leaving on a jet plane that leaves at 8 a.m., which I don't know why the fuck I did that again, but that means I have to get up at 4. So it's 11 right now. So in 5 hours, I'll be waking up. So I should be asleep, but instead I'm bringing this to you because I wanted to just bring you something. And so in order to sort of calm myself into a close to sleep state, and also for other reasons, I'm going to read to you from a book I wrote called Save the Arcade, a novella of games, bikini car washes, and friendship and other bikini stuff. Now, the reason for doing this is that this currently has zero reviews on Amazon or Goodreads, and I would appreciate it if you would get on and do that. You know, help a brother out. Copies are also available on Amazon and Goodreads. You can even get a hard copy, which is pretty sharp, if I do say so myself. And I think that maybe I didn't let everyone know that this was happening, so maybe this is why no one bought it. I don't know. It could just also be because my products are generally subpar. So without further ado, let's do a reading from Save the Arcade. That's spelled A-R-K-A-D-E. This is a story about the time our sweet arcade almost got shut down by evil Japanese condo developers. But in a way, it's also a story about friendship, loss, love, betrayal, and the best friends I'll ever have. But in another, more accurate way, it's about the time we use naked boobs to save our arcade from evil Japanese condo developers. Some stuff you should know first. While you're reading this story, you might notice that I don't write that good. I'm not much of a writer, or a reader, but I watched a lot of movies to figure out how to tell stories right, so if there's stuff that's kind of fucked up in here, if it sounds real stupid, then don't blame me. Blame the screenwriter of The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure. Or maybe blame Shakespeare. That dude could have taught me how to write, but he was too boring. So whichever of those things you know more about, that's whose fault this is whenever it sucks. Also, am I the only one who remembers a part in a Shakespeare play where he was talking about a girl's butt for like pages and pages? I can't remember for sure, but I feel like that happened, and it's really hard for anyone to prove that something didn't happen. Which means, moving forward, we should all assume there's a part in a play where Shakespeare spends a really long time talking about a girl's butt. How it all began. Open on a street in a beach town. We see all kinds of different dudes walking around. We see like a punk dude with Liberty spikes. We see some dudes breakdancing on a big piece of cardboard someone carried out to the sidewalk. We see the girl kind of dudes in yellow swimsuits, and we mostly see their butts and how their long hair reaches down to the tops of their butts. We might think about if their hair ever gets in their butts, or if they've ever accidentally taken a dump on their own hair or dipped it in the toilet, but mostly we think about, damn, look at those butts in those yellow swimsuits. Then we zoom in on one brick building. There's a big sign above the front door, and it says Arcade. You might think that it's misspelled. Well, it is. The guy who owns it isn't the most smartest, but he's not the most dumbest. He figured out the name on the sign was wrong way after it was finished, which was the dumb part. But then he just went with it and was like, we'll get two of every arcade game, like that boat Jesus was on. He's not the smartest guy at Bible stuff either, but he's pretty good at business, and he got two of a bunch of games. Centipede, Centipede, Human Centipede, Galaga, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Gender Ambiguous Pac-Person, and my favorite, Robotron 2084. Robotron 2084 is the best because it's the craziest game ever made. There isn't even a button when you play, just two joysticks. And those sticks put the joy back in joysticks because you use them to blow up monstrous robots in a frenzy of lights and bleeps and blips. which brings us to the problem. We were all hanging out, playing games. I guess I should introduce who all the people are. There's me, I'm Pete. When this happens, I'm playing Robotron 2084, and I have black sneakers. I don't know, it's hard to describe people. But I'm like the awesome cool dude in the movie for sure, and if it was a movie from a certain time, I'd probably have some fingerless leather gloves or something, and one of those leather jackets with the buckles and straps everywhere. Okay, then there's Jason. He's probably playing Sinistar because he thinks Sinistar is totally hilarious when he talks. Jason's the owner of the arcade. I already told you he's dumb. His shoes are also black. He's not that smart, but he's nice. Then there's Ben. Ben is probably playing Dig Dug. Ben is the fat guy. Every group has a fat guy unless it's got two fat guys, and Ben is our fat guy. Black shoes also. Then there's Agnes. Agnes is our girlfriend. Not girlfriend, but friend who's a girl. Agnes doesn't really date anyone right now. She dated this dude, Brad, during the school year, but it turned out that Brad was only dating her because he made a bet with his friends to see if he could make Agnes the prom queen. Then Agnes found out about it right before the prom, and she was really pissed. But Brad was like, "No, baby, that's how it started, but now I'm really in love with you." And Agnes was all, "Well, okay." And then they went to the prom, and then Brad dumped her immediately after because it turned out it was a bet, and he didn't fall in love with her, but she had to be crowned the prom queen for him to win the bet. There's always a bright side to things, and I guess the bright side is that Brad ended up making like $13,000 on the deal. He made a lot of bets with a lot of different people at the school, it turns out, and with people from just around town. Even Agnes's parents bet against her, it turned out, and now Brad's got all the money that was supposed to be for Agnes to get a car. It's kind of horrible, but we were all sort of impressed that Brad had that much initiative. Even Agnes one time admitted that it was pretty rad from a pure business standpoint. Then the bad shit happens. If this was a movie, what would happen now is the sky would turn totally dark and the skateboard kids would hold out their hands and feel a raindrop and be all, "Oh man," and they drop their skateboarding even though that girl from The Crow totally skates in the rain, and she's a girl and she's like 12. Sometimes I think skateboarders like to carry their skateboards more than they like to ride them, because seriously, skateboards are a lot more tiring than walking or just staying wherever you are. But it's not a movie, so what really happened is that it rained, and the skateboard kids were all pissed off, not because they couldn't skate, but because it's hard to keep a blunt lit in the rain. We were all in the arcade, and right then lightning crashed, and the door opened. Wait, that's not right. I have notes here. They're kind of hard to read. Hang on. Okay, it was like this. What really happened was lightning didn't crash for real, but when the door opened, what happened was Lightning Crashes by that band Live was playing on the arcade sound system when the door opened. So not as cool as it would be if lightning was all pow when the door opened, but it was still pretty neat. That's a neat song. So Live was on, and the door opened, and there was a bunch of guys in suits, and they all had briefcases, and they were all Japanese. I didn't know they were Japanese right then, but that didn't really matter. It was way more weird to see someone inside the arcade with a suit on than it was to see a group of Japanese men there. The arcade had that kind of nachos where cheese comes from like a paint can. I don't know how Japanese people feel about that cheese in general, but I know how people in suits feel about that cheese. Hint, they don't think it's something they need to eat. People in suits like to eat animals in ways that are not supposed to be eaten. Raw fish, raw beef, a duck stuffed inside another animal, which is something a serial killer would do or a really nice restaurant would do. Basically anything that shows how rich they are because they can be like, screw it, I'll buy another stomach. We all turned to look at the men who stood in the doorway. They had just come out of the rain, but they were completely dry. It was like they moved between the raindrops. Not really. They were just spooky is all, even though they were pretty wet. There was one guy at the front who we'll call Mustache because he had a mustache. He looked like he was in charge, and he turned his head to talk to one of the other men, but he kept his eyes on the arcade. He held up his hand to block his mouth, and he whispered to the other man. The man he whispered to, we'll call him Crazen, because I didn't know it then, but that motherfucker was Crazo. Crazen listened, and then he nodded, and he yelled into the arcade. The Honorable Mr. Yokoi would like to speak with the owner of this establishment. Jason stepped forward. He had some of the paint can cheese on his shirt. Jason raised his hand because I guess he never talked to people in suits before, so when he did, he thought he had to raise his hand. I own it, Jason said. Crazen and Mustache talked for a really long time. It kind of looked like Mustache didn't believe Jason owned the arcade, which is pretty understandable. Jason kind of didn't believe he managed to own an arcade either. He had low self-esteem. It's a big thing, and we don't really bring it up unless we have to. Mustache talked some more, and Crazen said, "Mr. Yokoi would like to speak with you in your office." Jason said, "Of course." Then he turned to me and said, "Pete, will you get my office ready?" I nodded and walked upstairs and had to decide what would be the most like the office, the bathroom or the closet next to the bathroom where we kept the mop and stuff. It took me a long time to decide, and I stalled by walking up the stairs and pretending I was out of breath after only a couple steps up. Then I'd do a couple more and get out of breath again, wait, and you get the idea. I heard Crazen and Mustache talking, probably about how I was out of shape and stuff, but really I was forming a plan. And out of shape, if I'm being honest. I only had to play it up maybe 50%. All that deciding on the stairs paid off, because I decided that the mop closet was better for an office than the bathroom, because the bathroom had official toilets in it, which offices never have. I say official toilets because the mop room definitely had an unofficial toilet in it, which was the drain in the middle of the floor. And I'm sure plenty of offices have unofficial toilets. A bottle in a desk drawer, a plant over in the corner. It wasn't until I was like 17 that I found out people kept plants in their houses that they didn't pee in. I just always assumed that was the whole point. The mop closet had some boxes in it and a mop. I moved the mop to the official toilet bathroom, then stacked the boxes to build sort of a desk for Jason, and then set two boxes for the Japanese guys to sit on. The room looked really bare, so I took this big marker I had and drew a picture of a cat on the wall. He was hanging from a branch with his front paws, and then below it I wrote, "Hang in there, baby." Then I drew a rectangle around the picture so it looked like a poster, and I went back and added a bunch of exclamation points after baby because I thought that made it look more like a poster for an office. I stood back and admired my work. Then I stood further back to where I was outside the mop closet, because I could only get so far back when I was in there, and the place still looked like shit. I backed up even more until I hit the railing and almost fell over and onto the main floor, and even after I almost died, the job I did still looked horrible. I thought that if you almost died, everything was supposed to taste sweeter and the light would be more beautiful and all that stuff, but the box furniture I made and the poster I drew on the wall still looked like shit. I came down the stairs and Jason said, "Everything all ready?" I said, "No, I couldn't quite get things squared away, because you don't have an office, at all." Jason clapped his hands once out in front of him and he said, "Splendid. Well, maybe we should just talk here." Crazen nodded and he talked to Mustache. Then Crazen said, "We are buying this entire block to put up high-end condos. This building is the last one we have to buy, so we are here to make you an offer for this property." Jason said, "A money offer?" And Crazen said, "Yes, a money offer." Jason rubbed his chin. I knew what he was thinking, probably. On the one hand, this place was his dream. On the other hand, he barely made any money. If he sold the place, he might not have to sleep in the mop closet, which I hadn't told him yet that I'd messed up because I turned the bed boxes into a desk and chairs, and also while I did that, I'd gotten worked up and peed in the unofficial toilet drain. Jason said, "Okay, how much?" Mustache nodded to another guy we'll just call Cliff. Cliff had a big briefcase, and he opened it up, and inside there was a bunch of money. Crazen said, $1 million. Jason said, "Sounds great, I'll take it." Crazen reached into the suitcase and took out big handfuls of bills. He took out $1 million, and there was still a lot left in there, which I guess means Jason should have held out for more. Or maybe that was money to buy another business or something. Crazen said, "It was our pleasure. Please vacate the building by the end of the week." Jason was laughing, and he'd already taken his shirt off and was rubbing bills all over his naked chest. "Uh-huh," he said. But then it turns out, totally all wrong. Now you might think that that's the end of the story right there. Jason took the money, Arcade got demolished, and there were some pretty nice condos put in its place. But it's not the end. Not by a long shot. Because for one thing, Jason didn't actually own the building. He paid rent on it, and it turns out when you rent a building and Japanese guys want to buy it, they have to buy it from whoever owns it, not from Jason. That's something we found out when the Japanese guys came back a couple hours later and demanded all the money back, and Jason had to reband all these stacks of bills and then replace one of the $100 bills with a bunch of quarters because that's what we have at the arcade, and because he'd burned one of the $100 bills to light a cigar off of. Mr. Carpenter, the guy who owns the building, came by after that, and right there at the arcade, he shook hands with the Japanese guys and took the $1 million. Well, $999,900, and then the 100 and quarters, which was a lot of goddamn quarters. The Japanese men left, and Mr. Carpenter looked at the money. He smelled it, and then he lit a bill on fire with a lighter and used the flaming bill to light a cigar. Man, if someone invented a lighter that looked exactly like a $100 bill, that inventor would be rich as hell. Mr. Carpenter gave the sack of quarters back to Jason, probably because he felt bad, but even more probably because he just got $1 million, and it's not worth a millionaire's time to carry around $100 in quarters. Jason said, "Mr. Carpenter, you can't just sell Arcade. This place is a cornerstone of the neighborhood. You can't." Mr. Carpenter said, "Why not? You were going to." Mr. Carpenter had him there, but he knew damn well that was a different situation. In that situation, Jason was going to get the money. In this situation, he wasn't. Apples and oranges. Jason said, "Isn't there any way you can see it in your cold, black heart to let us stay here?" Mr. Carpenter scowled, probably because of the thing Jason said about his cold, black heart. That wasn't the most smartest thing to say when you want someone to do something nice for you. Mr. Carpenter said, "Son, let me tell you a secret of business. The way to get ahead in business and in life is to do something and then make money from it. And then make a really big amount of money from something, even if it's kind of on accident. And then you use that money to have with you and be rich. That's business." Jason tried to write all that down, but Mr. Carpenter talked too fast. That's how you knew Mr. Carpenter was a good businessman. They always talk fast and say things that sound good but don't actually make sense. They save all their real business secrets for their best-selling books. Jason said, "Okay, what if I give you even more money than those guys gave you? Could we keep Arcade then?" Mr. Carpenter said, "Well, sure. If there's one thing I know about business, more money is better than the amount of money it's more than. But how are you going to pay me more than they did? You couldn't even buy this building off me before, and it was a lot cheaper before those guys gave me $1 million. Now it's $1 million plus more bucks." Jason said, "Don't worry, you leave that to me." Mr. Carpenter said, "Well, yeah, I wasn't going to come up with the plan for you. I was just trying to kind of doubt you without being a jerk about it and coming straight out and saying that it's impossible and you'll never be able to raise that much dough." Jason said, "Good then. We're in agreement. If I can get you the money before the end of the week, you'll sell Arcade to me." Mr. Carpenter said, "Son, you get me that money by the end of the week and I'll sell Arcade to you." It was the same thing Jason said, but I think there's a business thing about having the last word, even if the last word is the same word someone else just said. Jason and Mr. Carpenter shook hands, and then Mr. Carpenter walked off with his huge sack full of money and a twinkle in his eye from all the money. A plan comes together. Jason brought us all into a room, and he said that since we had until Friday, the best chance we had of coming up with $1 million was to create 5 different plans, one plan for each day we had left. Jason had a dry erase marker, even though we didn't have a dry erase board. He bought the marker first, and he totally meant to get a dry erase board, but didn't get around to it. So he would just hold the marker whenever we had a meeting. "Okay," he said, and he uncapped the marker for no real reason. "Let's hear some plans." I said, "I think the only answer is clear. Bikini car wash." Jason kind of moved the marker around in the air, like he was writing something in midair. He said, "Okay, where do we get the bikini people?" I said, "Well, you know, you put up the sign, then they come apply. Then they get soapy and have those hose fights, and bam, we save the day." Jason said, "Okay, that sounds solid. That's Monday. Then, next plan." Agnes said, "Topless Jeep tours?" We all nodded. Jason said, "Solid. That's Tuesday." Then Jason pointed the marker at Ben. Ben said, "I had a bikini thing too. It's kind of a daring daylight robbery thing, but with bikinis." Jason said, "Wednesday. Did we come up with any plans that don't involve bikinis?" Agnes said, "My Jeep tour thing was originally totally nude when I thought of it." "Okay," Jason said. "On Thursday, because I'm sure all the other good ideas will work, we'll have a victory party on Thursday, once we save the arcade." Author's note. Any good story has the title of the story in it, and great stories have the title declared in a real big way. So just to make you aware, you're reading a great story right now, you lucky duck. Okay. The next section is Monday, Bikini Car Wash, which we will get to upon my return, when two of our biggest fans will be matrimoniously wedded in bliss. Thanks for listening. I hope this wet your beak, your whistle, your beak for the next little few couple days, and then we'll get right back into it as soon as I get back. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll see you soon. You're not gonna say it. Somebody should.
too